Bibles once again to Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to continue the message that we started, or the series of messages, I should say, we started at the beginning of the year, The Keys to Peace and Prosperity, as outlined for us in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and 2, and then also verses 7 and 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning as we look to his word. Once again, Heavenly Father, we give you all honor, glory, and praise this morning for what you have done in our lives. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins and for raising him up the third day. We thank you also that, Lord, you have given us your word that we might know you in a deeper way. As we look to the word of God this morning, we earnestly pray because we desperately need your anointing to be upon us. Give words to this speaker. Give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, let me ask you, what preoccupies your mind regarding your faith in Jesus? And we say, when we receive Jesus personally as our Savior, of course, the Bible says we're brand new people. And although our bodies right now are the same, bless God, at some point in the future they'll change. Our bodies are the same. But inside there is a new creation. The Bible says those who are in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. Or as the King James Version translates, those who are in Christ are new creations. They are something brand new. And the new one aspect of the newness is our mind. The Bible says we're to have the same mind, I believe in the book of Philippians. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we should think a different way. Our mindset should be different. So my question to you this morning as we begin the message is, what is your mind preoccupied with? Because it can be preoccupied with a lot of things. We can be, if you're hungry, you can be preoccupied with lunch right now. I wonder what we're going to eat when we get out of here. And I hope there's not a long line at Taco Bell or whatever place you might choose to go. I guess not too many people are going to Taco Bell. Or whatever the Mr. or Mrs. has cooking. I'm sorry for putting that in your mind and being a distraction. Or we can think about what's going on in the economy. Will I have a job tomorrow? How, you know, and everything that's related to the world financial situation. Or we can be concerned, and we should be concerned about what's happening in Egypt or Tunisia, and I guess Yemen is also having some issues there with the uprisings and changing governments and the implications that it has regarding the world and specifically Israel. And I don't want to preach on that this morning, but that is something that we should keep lifted up in prayer. But if we're truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're walking in his Spirit, we should be concerned about spiritual things and eternal things. Who the Lord Jesus Christ is. What he has waiting for us. Amen? That no matter what we go through in this life, there is a better life that's coming. One that is described in the book of Revelation as a life without sickness, pain or parting. A lot of times we think about the physical, and for some people, especially people who have prolonged and chronic illness, they are greatly looking forward to that day when they'll receive a brand new body. And what a joy that will be. But there's a day when there'll be no more emotional sorrow or suffering, because there'll be a time of no parting, which means that we'll be together with our loved ones. But more importantly, we will see Jesus face to face for eternity. And the Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So we should be kind of consumed with that really what's going on here doesn't really matter and doesn't compare in any way to what is coming for us. But also we should be consumed as far as what we should be doing now. What is God's call upon my life? And we talked a little bit about that last week. But bless God, even though as believers we're to be consumed with the eternal, if we know Jesus personally as our Savior, and what I mean by that, we acknowledge that He is God. And I know the Bible says He is the Son of God, but the understanding there is that since Jesus is the Son of God, that makes Him God Himself. The Pharisees knew that. He called Himself the Son of God, and they hated Him because they knew He was basically saying that He is God. So, as far as this morning, knowing that Jesus Christ is God and knowing that He has a future that is waiting for us, there's also, or should be, the understanding that not only is there a blessing in the future, there is a blessing now. John chapter 10, verse 10, a verse that I've been using all along in our study. I have come, this is Jesus speaking, that they may have life and have it to the full. We can and should. We don't only have a hope of a great, indescribable life to come after this life is over. We have the assurance of a blessed life now. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I don't know about you, and I'm not an English major, but that looks present tense to me. But according to the book of Proverbs, and this is what this whole series of messages is about, God has given us keys to live in that place of fullness, of prosperity, and of peace. And when I speak of prosperity, I don't necessarily mean God's going to bless you with three Cadillacs, five boats, and mansions all over the world. And if He does, hey, great. You know, I don't want to say more power to you, but listen, and we'll talk about this in weeks to come. The more money you receive from God, that is something God has given you to invest for His kingdom. And the greater responsibility that you have to use that money for His glory, and God will hold you accountable, all of us, whether in man's eyes we're rich or poor, and has not God given us all things. So prosperity is so much more than that. It's being full of His righteousness, His peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because that's what the kingdom of God is all about, living a life of happiness and satisfaction. And today, we're going to begin to talk about the two keys or the two responsibilities that we have to live in this place of peace and prosperity, those keys being righteousness and humility, because according to God's word, they bring us the blessing of health. Once again, verse 8, Proverbs 3, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, our bodies, although a lot of times we don't preach about it, and in fact, sometimes we feel guilty about it, but our bodies are important to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the body? The body, if we look at it through God's eyes, is a unique creation of the Lord. How wonderful is the human body? I mean, it is fantastic. And, you know, in my recent With my recent illness, I've found out even more astonishing things about the body. You know, and I've learned other things as well. And one of the great things about the human body is not in the case of every organ, but many organs God gives us too. So if one goes bad, we can still go on. We have two eyes. You lose an eye, you can still see. You can drive and go on and whatnot. You lose a kidney, you can still function. You lose a lung, you can still breathe. The human body is wonderful. As I've mentioned before in my testimony, my cancer spread to my liver, and my liver was literally loaded with cancer, although it was still functioning normally. But the one outside of God, and of course God can do anything, but even by natural means, the liver is an organ that will heal itself. How wonderful is that? For me, it's very wonderful. And it's in the process of healing itself and being regenerated, albeit by the grace of God. But we look down a lot of times at the body. We are somewhat, I guess you could call us, spiritual Gnostics. And what I mean by that, there in the New Testament, there are a group of people with false teachings, and they found their salvation in knowledge and knowing. And they thought if they knew everything, then they would somehow achieve redemption and achieve a place that mankind needed to be. But one of the things about people who were labeled Gnostics is they thought anything that had to do with the body was evil or wrong. And there are obviously sins that we can get into that are evil and wrong, but the body itself is something that's wonderful. It's beautiful before God. It's a wonderful creation. The Bible says that God created man from the dust of the ground. So it's part of the created act. And then, of course, after he formed the body of man, he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a soul. But the bodies we have now, even though they're growing older, even though if Jesus Christ tarries, they will die, at some point, they will be resurrected. And bless God, not only will God bring them from death to life, from decay to living, he'll bring them back perfectly. I don't know, I can't say what you'll look like. In fact, I was listening to a message either yesterday, I think it was maybe yesterday at Men's Breakfast or something, and someone said, how old will we be? Maybe it was, I went to a funeral yesterday. How old will we be in heaven? And the answer that the person gave was 30 years old. I don't know where they got it. And he was pretty happy. In fact, it was a funeral because he was about 40. I don't know about you. If I can be 30, why not be 20? I'd rather be 20. But it won't be 20 or 30 at all. This body is going to be resurrected, but in a new way, a supernatural way, and an eternal way. Reading 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Let me tell you, and there's a lot we can say about the resurrection of the body. But if God guarantees in the saving act of Christ upon a person's life, when a person by faith receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, asks him to forgive them for their sins, believes that he's the Son of God who died for them, as we observed earlier. If God, in that wonderful saving act, guarantees that this old body will someday be resurrected, it must be pretty important to him. And so if it's important to him, not only do I think, but I believe in addition to that scripture, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to take care of our bodies. Now, we know that we should take care of our spirits. You know, I think the old saying is true. You won't find it in your Bible, so don't look in your coordinates. But kind of garbage in, garbage out. And if you fill your mind and your spirit with garbage, you're going to think garbage and you're going to act garbage. I don't need to talk about what garbage is. You know what it is. Stuff that stinks, spiritually speaking. But so it is with the body. God wants us as believers not only to take care of our spirits, but also take care of our bodies. Not worship our bodies, and we'll talk about this, but take care of our bodies. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. What is the scripture saying? Number one, it's saying that this body is an important part of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because two things happen in this body. It is within your body that the Holy Spirit moves. What was the temple? It was a building in the Old Testament. And at the height when Israel was serving God as it should, the presence of God was there in a powerful way. And now in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul is saying, your body now is the temple. Which means I have made your body so that my spirit may fill it in Jesus' name. And we had an example of that this morning. A message in tongues and interpretation. What is that? The Holy Spirit moving upon a body. How do we worship God? Well, I know we're to worship God in our hearts, but we're also to worship God in our bodies. How does the book of Psalms, the worship book or the hymnal of the Old Testament, tell us to worship God? With a shut mouth? And hands by your side, or hands lifted up with a shout of praise. Physically, a song and a dance. I remember, if you've ever read of any of, his name escapes me now. He wrote those wonderful little books on prayer. What's his name? You know Raylene, you know what I'm thinking all the time, so. Bowers, thank you, Tony. And talks about how posture is important in prayer. Why? Because God created all of us. So our minds, our spirits, and our bodies should be engaged in worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our bodies are very, very important. And it's our bodies that we worship. How not only worship, but serve God. How are people to hear about Jesus? How are people to be taught about Christ? Well, we'll just pray and hope for divine inspiration and revelation. That can happen, but God wants to use our bodies to serve Him. In fact, as we read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, again, the implication is that man has, and when I speak of man, all mankind, men and women, the implication is that we're to take care of our bodies. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. Now, is God saying you shouldn't take care of your body? Not at all. He says it's normal, natural, and I believe expected to take care of your body. And one way, or actually two ways, as we read our text this morning, that we care for our bodies and keep our bodies in good working order is by using the keys of righteousness and humility. Serving God a particular way in order for His divine favor of health upon our life. Now, I'm not preaching to name it and claim it, and you'll see where I'm going here in a minute. But we have to take God's word as it says. Health is something that is important to the believer, and I'll say why. But there are specific commands that God has given us regarding health or regarding living right. And so let's begin by talking about righteousness and how righteousness impacts our health. First off, there are commands in Scripture to believers as far as how we are to take care of our bodies. It's not just, you know, you can live any way you want, you can eat any way you want, you can burn the candle at both ends, but bless God, if you're praying, you'll be okay. That's not the case at all. Some of the specific commands that were given in Scripture, one of the most important ones is commands regarding our diets. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 21 says, drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. What we have in this scripture is a condemnation of what? Of gluttony. And what is gluttony? Well, you know, we can talk about it specifically, but if I could condense it down briefly, it's eating poorly. It's eating poorly. Now, when we think of a glutton, we think of someone who's heavy set, you know, kind of a guy like me with my little belly here. And you don't have to be heavy. And I think sometimes we get too focused on body size rather than be happy with the shape of the body that God gave us. Hey, some that society views as not attractive, you know, couple hundred years ago or more was viewed as very attractive and vice versa. So it's not so much that. But you can be someone who's very thin, but you eat poorly. Let me tell you, I don't know if you remember my brother, and I'm not saying he's a glutton. And my brother, if he was to stand behind my pinky, you probably wouldn't see him. Now, if you know me, you know I can eat, and I like to eat. But let me tell you, he can eat me under the table. Seriously. You ask Raylene, he can eat like anything. And I hope he eats good and you know everything's fine with him. But it's not a matter of body. It's a matter of eating correctly. Because if we don't eat correctly, if we don't put good food into our bodies, then our bodies are going to be less than what they should be. I mean, if we're always eating fried and greasy foods, we're spending a lot of time at McDonald's, and I don't have any grudge against McDonald's, but... And we have heart disease. We can't go to Lord Jesus Christ and say, Satan's after me because I have heart disease. Not to mention the three Big Macs that I eat every day. Let me tell you, you may not hear this from God, but you hear it from me. Get rid of the Big Macs, eat a salad. But you see what I'm saying? God gives us wisdom, and it's funny, but, and I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm not trying to beat up on anyone in particular. If anyone, it's me. A lot of times it's hard to eat right, but we have a responsibility to eat right if we're to keep our bodies healthy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, less importantly, but also merit, is that of exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. There are a lot of health issues that people struggle with today. And I believe one of the reasons that people do struggle with health issues is not because their diets are poor, but because they don't get enough exercise. And I'm not here to promote, you know, okay, let's all go to the gym and whatnot. And I don't have stock in Gold's Gym or whatever gym might be, Workout World, something like that. But I do know the nature of our society is a lot different than it was a couple hundred years ago. What did people do a couple hundred years ago? They had to work hard. I forget who I was talking with yesterday, it might have been you, Rick, but you know, thinking of people, they got up early in the morning before sun to milk the cows and to do this and that, and then they worked hard all day, and then finally when the sun set, they could go home, and I imagine if it was me, I'd just collapse. But they worked hard physically. But now, a lot of jobs require what? Sitting down at a computer, or sitting down operating machinery, or sitting down doing this, or sitting down doing this. We don't have the activity that we need to. And because of that, it can bring health problems. I know as far as myself, and let this be confession time, I do not exercise as I should, but doctors have told me that one thing that will help the particular cancer that I have is to exercise at least half an hour a day. Now, let me say one thing about exercise. If I haven't said it before, I need to say it now. Exercise, and I'll use the King James translation, exercise profits little. You can get too caught up in exercise, and some people do. I'm not saying anyone here. But you can get too where that becomes your God. I made a pact, because there were a couple times in my life, you know, 40, midlife crisis, whatever, I need to get in shape. But I vowed before God that exercise would never come before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I got up and I only had an hour to get ready to do whatever I needed to do, that hour was going to be spent with the Lord before I touch a weight or get on a treadmill or do anything in that nature. Godliness profits all things. So don't put exercise. It's good to have, but it's secondary to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, there's the issue of rest. And I know some people maybe have too much sleep, but many Americans don't get enough rest. But rest, adequate rest, is something that God instilled in mankind from the very beginning. Reading the Ten Commandments of all things. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Two things regarding the Sabbath. Number one, we're to set aside a day to worship God. And this is something that is to be done throughout time. But it's also a day to rest physically. Why? Because man is flesh. Flesh is weak, and flesh needs a break. And let me tell you, if your job requires you to work 7 days a week, 10, 12, 20 hours a day, at some point, you are going to have physical and probably mental problems, you know, as far as stress of all, the stress of working and not getting enough rest. Why? Because God did not design the body to work that way. He knew its flesh, and he knew it required rest. So we need to take care of ourselves. We can't spend all night on Facebook or, you know, watching movies or that type of thing. You need to go to bed, get a good 8 hours. And you'll feel a lot better, and you'll honor God in your body. But not only are there specific calls, and righteousness doesn't mean just doing these common sense things that, you know, society preaches, but it's been in the Word the whole time. But generally, serving God the way God has called us to serve Him, according to the Scripture, gives us good health. Which is to say, if we're engaged in a lifestyle of sin, and I'll talk about what that means in a few moments as we progress, it will have a negative impact upon our health. Now, many sins have a direct impact on your health. If you are a promiscuous person, and you know, to use everyday terms, if you're someone who, forgive the expression, sleeps around, you will ruin your health. You will contract sexually transmitted diseases, which can cause all kinds of medical problems, including death. However, if you're also engaged in addictive behavior, that's sin. And listen, when we think of addictions, we think of illegal drugs. We think of alcohol. We think of tobacco. But let me tell you one area of addiction that God dealt with me about, and it wasn't any of those things. It was caffeine. In fact, there was a time in my life that I really felt that I needed to fast for a few days for God to give direction. I don't even remember what the direction was for. And I didn't really see an answer as far as what I was seeking God for. In fact, Raylene asked me, so did you get an answer? And I said, no, but I really feel convicted that I should get off caffeine. Why? Because caffeine, I was addicted to it, or caffeine became my God. And it did this way. Not that I needed to go have, you know, sips of coffee between church services and that type of thing. But in my life, caffeine, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, became something I depend on. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, so I'm going to drink a lot of coffee. Or I don't have to get a whole lot of sleep. I can drink a lot of coffee and just get through it. That's not the way God wants us to live. God doesn't want us to depend on caffeine or cigarettes or beer or crack cocaine or any of those things. He wants us dependent upon Him. But of course, if we allow those things to control our lives spiritually and mentally, they'll also affect us physically. Even caffeine and God's problems. And thank God I'm mostly delivered from that. Amen. But other sin that does not seem related to health will conversely affect your body and keep your body from being as healthy as God has ordained it to be. For instance, the sin of lying. Now, you tell a lie, there's no correlation. You can't go to any medical book and say lying causes sores to break out or heart attacks. But it will cause physical problems. Sin, of course, and in this case, lying has an impact on your spirit. We know, and lying has an impact on relationships with other people. But it also introduces something, not only introduces, because for most, if not all people, it's already there, exacerbates a problem when we lie or do any other sin that all of us struggle with, and that's the problem of stress. Let me ask you this morning, who here does not have any stress in your life? And anyone over 3 years old or 4 years old would be lying. There is much stress in life, isn't there? But I'm not going to say what do we have. To whom do we have to go to in times of stress to find relief? The Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 says the chastisement of our peace is upon Him. So when we're worried or confused or facing tough situation, bless God, we can go to God and have the peace of God that passes all understanding to descend upon our minds, our spirit, and bring us to that place of supernatural peace. Unless we're involved in unconfessed sin. Because what happens when you know you're not living the way? No one's perfect. We all fail. But when you adopt an unrepentant lifestyle that's described in the book of Proverbs, like the adulteress in Proverbs who, after commits adultery, she wipes her mouth and says, I have not sinned. Lifestyle, you know you're not where you should be. How confident are you that God will hear your prayer? Not only are you not confident, you're not going to go to God to pray at all because you know there's some issues between you and God that you haven't resolved. Sin, and of course we know stress, is something that not only affects your mind, your emotions, it can affect your spirit, it's something that will affect your body. But thirdly, righteousness opens the door to God's grace upon your life. God gives us mental toughness to get through things, emotional toughness to get through the trials of life, but He also gives us physical strength and divine healing. These are all gifts of His grace. Does not Isaiah chapter 53, as our sister prayed this morning during communion, does not the Bible say with His stripes we are healed? Romans 5:21 tells us that grace reigns through righteousness. How do you want the grace of God, or do you want the grace of God in your life? Well, according to the Word of God, if you want God's grace upon your life, grace is reigned through righteousness, you must live righteously before Him. Grace might reign through righteousness. We quote the scripture often from James chapter 5, verse 16. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. If we want to see God, we must be pure in heart. Not only in the case of divine healing, but a healthy and strong body, which God desires that we have. Now, saying that, how does this happen? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 45, that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. And as it relates in that scripture, the context of that scripture, it's life-giving to the physical body. It's speaking of the resurrection, but I also believe it speaks to you and I now as we live in this world for Jesus. Now, there are some situations where sickness is a result of sin. I mentioned a few before. If you abuse your body, overindulge in alcohol or drugs, it's going to destroy your brain and your organ. You know, it's just terrible. But sickness also spiritually can open, or sin also spiritually can open the door to sickness in your life. This is what Scripture says. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda who Jesus met, and he healed him. He was a crippled man. And after he healed him, he found him later. And you know what he said to him? He said, "Stop sinning, lest something worse come upon you." What is that saying? I'm not saying every case, so please bear with me. So I'm not one of those that say, if you're sick, you've got sin in your life. That's not what I'm saying at all. But in some cases it is. And the only way to know is God speaking to your heart. I can't say it. No one else can either. The Corinthians, as we observed in communion this morning, many of them were sick and some even died. Why? Because they were observing the Lord's death unworthily. And the unworthy matter was they were living an unrepentant life. It's not a matter of not sinning. I mean, everyone sins. But to stay in that sin is abhorrent to God. We need to confess that sin. But there are other instances in the Bible where sickness was not a consequence of man's fallen nature. The blind man in John chapter 9, disciples, there was this man who'd been blind from birth. Disciples want to know, why was he blind? Who sinned, him or his father? And Jesus said neither, but so that God might be glorified. The thing, regarding righteousness, when we live righteously, we open the door of God's blessing, both healing and health, in our lives. This is the case of the blind man in John 9. He was a man who was righteous. God healed him. Also, the Apostle Paul. The Bible in Acts chapter 14, he was stoned for preaching the gospel. Now, it's a very brutal thing to happen and something that no one survives. But what happened after the stoners left and the disciples and the associates of Paul gathered around him? The Bible says he got up and continued to preach the gospel. Why did he do that? Why? Because God's favor was upon his life. So God is able to touch people physically. Not all people suffer in their body because of sin. So some suffer because it's just life. Others suffer because it's the call of the gospel, because of the call of the gospel in the case of Paul. It's a consequence of man's fallen nature. But because of Jesus Christ, if we're living right before him, the door to God's grace is open. Now, what does it mean to live righteously? Number one, it means that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now, Jesus can and has healed people who have not known him personally. And I know this is a tricky subject, so bear with me as we walk through this. I don't want to say that, as I mentioned before, that people who are sick have sin in their lives, and if they get rid of the sin, then they'll be instantly healed. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that righteousness is necessary to receive healing in the believer's life. Number one, you are righteous if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, even though you're imperfect. So bless God. But number two, we need to have a repentant attitude in our life, because if you're saved, it means that you have made a decision to change your life. That means not only have you left some things that are sinful behind, as you struggle through things that you're struggling with now, you're making a determination in your heart that through the power of the Holy Spirit you will overcome. And without those attitudes in your, and without that attitude, that disposition, that righteous attitude in your heart, it'd be very difficult to be touched physically. Now, having said that, healing and sickness, or healing and health, or God's divine touch in this area is not solely physically healing, but it's also health through sickness. Now, you might be thinking I'm double talking here, but I think this is a very important point. It speaks to what I'm going through, but not just me, other people as well. I have had at least 44 chemotherapy treatments in less than 2 years. And I hear the same thing from a lot of people when I see them. In fact, if I had a nickel for every time I heard this phrase, I'd have a lot of nickels. I don't think I'd be rich. Just heard it yesterday. You look good. And I know, and I'm very grateful, even though I do have some side effects, for what I'm able to do, despite the fact that I've had a year and three quarters of poisons being pumped into my body. It's because of God's grace upon my life. God has given me the strength, even in my sickness, to overcome. And I'm not the only one as well. I just attended a funeral of a former pastor's wife. She's to her husband is the pastor over in Ledyard, Sister Margaret Watrous. Some of you might know her. She, 3 or 5 months ago, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. In fact, Sister Terry was as well. They say, and they told her, that the final stages, and I seen it, my cousin, I always heard reports, that it's very, very painful. But Sister Margaret suffered absolutely no pain. She took a couple of doses of Tylenol now and then, but that was it, despite the pain. And Terry was the same way, I believe. No pain until, 2 weeks before she died, she was in the church office working, despite the fact that her cancer had advanced to her lungs. I don't mean to put this person on the spot, but please forgive me, Debbie, but I think Debbie, doctors have told her that for years, despite her illness, she should not be able to do what she's doing. But by the grace of God, see, even in sickness, I'm not saying that, everyone's always going to have perfect health all the time. Sometimes our road has sickness in it for whatever reason. But even in that sickness, God is there and able to get us through. But according to God's word, the key to the door of God's favor in our lives, including physical favor, health to our bodies, is living right before him. I'd like to ask our musicians to come. And as they come, and this is an important point. I didn't think this would take me this long to talk about this morning, but apparently it did. But listen, good health, even in the midst of sickness, isn't just so we can feel good or we can look good. You know, and aside from what I said about myself, in our culture today, a lot of people exercise for the wrong reasons. It's not so much that they can have a healthy body, it's so that they can physically look good. That's not the reason God has this promise in Scripture, so that you and I can be on the cover of Fit Magazine or Muscle and Fitness or whatever. Henry just missed last month, believe it or not. No. I'm not saying this at all. The reason it's important that we take care of our bodies and we have healthy bodies is so that we can use them for God's glory. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. You know, we're to sleep, we're to eat, we're to do all those things, but not as an end that we have a healthy body, so that when the time comes, we're able to offer that fully to God. We're well rested up so we can take care of our families. We can spend that night in prayer or encouragement with someone. We're strong in body so that we can bless others. In fact, at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, I think his body was in rough shape, but it was in rough shape for the right reasons. Not because he burned the candle at both ends, spending his health foolishly, but because he served God and allowed his body. And this is probably the most important part of the message, and you know, I hate to just tack it on at the end, but I do want to leave you with that. Jesus said, or Paul said, Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He sacrificed his body, and we need to be willing to do the same for our families. That's a calling. And for Jesus, whatever that might be. But to be that acceptable sacrifice, we need to take care of it. Amen? Which means, you know, we need to eat right, sleep, and all those things. But we need to live righteously and holy before him. I've learned, one of the many things that I've learned through this ordeal is that I need God's grace to do what God has called me to do. There have been times, and I'm not trying to, please, to God be all the glory. There have been times where I just didn't know if I'd be able to get through a service because I was just so tired. But you know, at those times, and there were some times I was real tired and I had to really work through it, but there were other times where just God supernaturally lifted me through and helped me to get through strong. Afterwards, I was ready to collapse, but in all seriousness, and God gets the glory through that. Would you stand with me this morning? And we're going to pray and then sing a chorus of praise and thanksgiving. But we're going to pray together and ask God for his wisdom in our lives, that God would help us through righteousness and wisdom to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit so that we can be that acceptable sacrifice. God wasn't pleased with a maimed sacrifice in the Old Testament, and he's not in the New Testament. I'm not saying if you're sick, you're in it, and it's not at all, but if you're not taking care of it, and if you're not living right before God, again, a perfect sacrifice isn't just perfect as far as we're doing what we can to take care of the physical body. It means our hearts are right before God, and we can't be that acceptable sacrifice. Let's believe God together in Jesus' name. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for giving your body for us. Dear God, help us in the name of Jesus to realize that your calling is upon us to give our bodies back to you. As Scripture says, as we read this morning, we've been bought with a price. We haven't been set free just to live any way we can. We've been bought back for our original purpose. And that original purpose, we've been created to bring honor and glory to you. And so we thank you for it. God in the midst, and we know, Lord, it is of paramount importance that we take care of our spirits. God, that we nourish our spiritual man and our minds, Lord, with the Word of God, with prayer, with devotion, with coming together with other believers, but help us to also realize that our bodies are important because they're your instruments of service in this earth. So help us, oh God, to take better care of our bodies if we have not been doing so. And help us, oh God, in Jesus' name, to above all live righteously before you, so that we don't close that door of your favor upon our physical health. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus together. I know there are those who need to go, and if God is releasing you this morning, we pray God's peace and blessing. But we do want to open up the altars for anyone who would like to come for whatever reason, whether it's allowing your body or giving your body to be that acceptable sacrifice before God. We invite you to come and spend some time before the Lord Jesus Christ, or if there's a physical need in your body, we'd love to pray with you. Or if you just want to spend some time worshiping Jesus as our worship team begins to minister, please do so in the name of Jesus. But let's believe God together as we sing this morning in Jesus' name.